Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good for us to be here on today. What a blessing it is to be able to look into the perfect law of liberty, and that is none other than the Word of God. As the writer said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." What a blessing it is to be able to look into the perfect law of liberty. And thank God we have liberty. And that's what Christ came to make us free from, the law of sin of death. That's what the Bible says. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Just like Jesus Himself said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So that's what we're all about, is talking about truth, and that is none other than the Holy Writ or the Holy Scriptures. And thank God that we're here. Just another session, amen, to be able to continue in the word of the Lord. And we've been going through the book of Corinthians. My food for thought today is a good one. We know there's a lot been going on in the world. We have various signs, like the Lord Jesus Christ Himself gave, that concerning His appearing. And that is, there's a difference between the appearing and the second coming. When He appears, He's going to catch the church away. When He second coming, He's coming back and step foot on the Mount of Olives. He's going to, like the book of Jude says, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints." So various things is going to be done. He's going to come back and fight His enemies for one, and going to bring, like one scripture says, that the Lord's coming and all His saints with Him, the ones that He's going to bring, 10,000s of His saints. But the appearing is written, and we have a good description, a couple of places. First Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, talking about the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The writer goes on to say, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with the Lord to meet them, the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So that's 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. The next verse, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Then also we have in 1 John 3, when He says, "What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." So John the writer goes on to say, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear," there it is right there, "shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." So the appearing is the catching away of the bride, or catching away of the church. And then also in 1 Corinthians, 15th chapter, it says, "We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He goes on to say this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. He goes on to say, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's in the book of Isaiah. Then he goes on and he asks the question, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So, and we know that that death that he is talking about is the second death. And he says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So, it's good for what a time to be living in. We can see God's word being fulfilled right before our eyes. So you got to get the truth of the whole matter. People are trying to explain away the scriptures. And so that's what we are all about, is the truth. And that is the first truth, that there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new. There's only one God, and his name is Jesus. His name was, he was the great I Am back then. Exodus 6:3, he was saying that he was known by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But he said, by my name Jehovah was I not made known unto them. So he does have a name. And after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the scriptures. But that's what the New Testament or the New Covenant is all about. And that is the Lord himself coming, or the God with us, as we read in our intro. And so he was in the world, the scripture says, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So it's like he said, you would have known me if you would have known Moses. He told those Jews, you would have known me because he wrote of me. And so what we want to talk about before we get into our lesson is what is going on today. The scriptures is being fulfilled. And then first thing, we have to take heed that no man deceives us. So I know we're so caught up in titles, and we reverence and revere these people, and in some cases almost worship these men and women. And we should have respect for our leaders, for our parents. When I came up, you had respect for adults. We respected adults. We didn't call them by their first name, but we had respect for them. That rightfully so. But when it comes to your soul, you don't have to have none. You can get out of there, because you end up in the lake of fire. You get cast in there. Like Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. You're going to be in trouble. You don't have to have, you can get away from there. You don't have to be jived or pimped or hustled by no man or no woman when it comes to your soul. So that's what we're endeavoring to tell you. So here for my food for thought on today is in 2 John, the 7th verse in 2 John. John has a 1st, 2nd, and 3rd epistle. Not St. John, but the 1st, 2nd epistle of John, and 3rd epistle of John. We're in the 2nd epistle of John. He starts off saying, the elect, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all they that have known the truth. And he goes on to say, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us forever, shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Okay? So he's talking about us loving one another, walking in his commandment. And so, and then the greatest commandment of all, like he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy whole, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and Lord, love thy neighbor as thyself. And he went on to say, on these two hang all the law and the prophets, loving yourself and loving your neighbor, loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. So if you love God with all your heart, You love your neighbor as yourself, you can't go wrong. So, but anyway, the subject changes here, and verse 7 is what I want to talk about. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, we know those who keep talking about the honorable so-and-so and all of that, and I don't even have to say the name. I come to smash that lie. That is a lie from hell, because there ain't no honorable nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ. All that this, whoever this was that met an angel and where that foolishness started at, the Bible tells us in Galatians, the first chapter, says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. So I don't care if the angel said he is from heaven, he's a messenger from hell. And that foolishness that started with that man that met that angel, that is a lie out of hell, because that's not God's word. And that is a deceiver, and that is an antichrist. We know we got people going nowadays, they try to say, oh, Jesus is just a prophet. You know, no, Jesus is God. He's all God. He was God incarnate. The Bible said that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. The subject is God. So any deceiver, like he said, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And I said it. Ain't no honorable nobody but Jesus Christ. And you know what I'm talking about. And all these so-called, the minister this and the honorable whoever, they're going to lead you right to the lake of fire, where you'll be in there with the devil and the beast and the false prophet and every foul spirit and all these dirty, rich crooks that's taking people's money and all. They're going to end up in the hell hole, because Jesus said that you cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is money. The Bible said that the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And this is what he was admonishing, Apostle Paul was admonishing Timothy in the gospel about that. And he went on to say, charge them in this world that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, but trust in the living God, which gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they may lay hold on eternal life. What he's saying, that's what's important, because he said, previous verses, we didn't bring anything into this world, and certainly we can't take anything out. He said, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. When he said, godliness with contentment is great gain, what that's saying is that godliness with contentment is great gain. It's not contingent upon what you have and what you don't have. Not saying that you shouldn't do better. We're not saying that. We're not living a vow of poverty and all that foolishness like that one so-called religion did. That's a lie out of hell. The Son of Man didn't have nowhere to lay his head, talking about Jesus. He didn't tell us to live in the street and don't have no place to lay your head. He didn't tell us that. Bible tells us, if you don't work, neither should you eat. You can live as long as you're working, or you're making an honest living, or if you received an inheritance, whatever, that's up to you. You don't rob the poor and give to the rich. And that's the problem right today, that the rich don't want to pay their fair share. So they're not going to take their money with them. So these things that are going on in the world, that one of the signs of the coming of the Lord or the appearing of the Lord is he's talking about nations rising against nations, kingdom against kingdoms, earthquakes in diverse places, in many places. So was that earthquake that was in Japan, was it God? Absolutely, it was God's word being fulfilled. That's one of the signs of the coming of the Lord, is earthquakes. Yes, that was God. And not only that, but just like he said, yet once more, he's speaking. He's shaking the earth. Yes, God is in control. He made this earth, and he can do what he wants. And we know there are those out there, these skeptics and folks who are lying, trying to say that man did that. I'm not saying man can't do some things, but these earthquakes that are happening, this is the Lord doing this. And so I give you a little glimpse of that. So here in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 23rd verse, he says, to the general assembly and church of firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that are able, that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, talking about back in Moses' days. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only. This is God talking, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, is signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receive in the kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And catch this next verse. For our God is a consuming fire. So, know what I like to say to you? You haven't seen nothing yet. These things, like Jesus said, are the beginning of sorrows. So, folks want to, yeah, sure, we should fight for our rights as much as what we have. But you got to realize one thing, that the coming of the Lord is nigh, and these greedy CEOs, governors, leaders, all of these folks are greedy. And all they are about is that almighty dollar. And they rob from the rich, they rob from the poor to give to the rich. But got news for them, because there's something else coming on the scene. That when the Antichrist set up his kingdom, you got to have that mark. You can't buy or sell. It ain't going to matter who you are. You're going to do what he says or your head. So, like they say, you eat that. So we better believe God. It's time to believe God, because the coming of the Lord is near. And so these things are happening all the time. And so I say we're not going to get out of debt. As far as they say we're broke. But I'm told that there's 400 people in the United States have more money than 150 million, which is half of the population of the United States of America. So there's a lot of greed going on, and God knows all about it. And folks need to stand up against it. So what a dirty spirit it is. What a bunch of greedy folks. And what a shame. But that's just how they are. And so we got to realize that time is short. So you can't take nothing with you. You didn't bring nothing here. You're not taking nothing with you. So a lot of folks are going to end up in the lake of fire forever, because they were robbing people. And these folks on Wall Street, they robbed our 401ks and our pension. And I'm not scared to say something about it. So we steady taking away. Folks don't want to pay their fair share. That's okay. You're not going to, one thing about it, you can't bribe or buy God. Nobody can. So thank God for that. For today, as we endeavor to get into our lesson, we also like to welcome all of our listeners, all of our Blog Talk Radio friends, all of our Facebook friends. We thank God for you. So we endeavoring to tell the truth, because you can't stop it. The truth is going to go forth. And so that's what's going on even nowadays in the world. And thank God that we're able to tell the truth. And so many folks have lied on folks. That's what that war is all about in Afghanistan, about these folks taking these people's natural resources. We're spending all this money. That's what that lie was, that invasion of Iraq, or however you want to say, Iraq. Lied, got Saddam hung. Lied, got all these people killed. And they knew that they did not have weapons of mass destruction. But see, that's what the Bible said, that the devil is a liar and the father of it. So All because of one thing. The bottom line is greed. Wanting to take things from people. Wanting to take people's resources. But you know who the land belongs to? It belongs to God. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And the world and they that dwell therein. So it all belongs to God. So we know we're living in that time. These people are saying that I'm Christ. I'm the anointed of God. I'm God's anointed. No, you ain't. You wouldn't be trying to get all the glory. You're so anointed, why don't you help somebody else? So thank God. So there's nobody so important. And thing of it is, what gets me, and I'm going to be like the Bible says. I'm going to be bold as a lion. That's what the Bible says. The wicked fleeth when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I'm going to be a lion right now. I'm not scared to say what the Bible says. These people are hustling folks out of their money. When the only thing you owe, first of all, you've got to be born again, and that is repentance. Repent. Turn from your way. Be willing to go God's way. Forsake your sins. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. God promised to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak in another tongue or another language, whatever terminology you want to use, as the Spirit gives you what to utter. That is the born-again experience, being born of water and of the Spirit. That is the one baptism, water and Spirit, the water and the Spirit, water and the Spirit. So thank God for that. So then when you're born again, then you owe God the tenth of your time, your talent, your finance. All God wants is 10% and a free will offering. That is all the Lord requires, to tithe and a free will offering. Ain't no sow a seed. These folks hustling you out of your money. They use scriptures. They don't even give. You got to give the sense of the word. Like in the book of Nehemiah says, and they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So to give the sense of the word, like somebody said, give seed to the sower. Yeah, in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, you know what he's talking about? Farmers. He's talking about as the water and the snow come down from heaven and gives a seed. Make it the earth bring forth the bud, and then he said that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth not return unto me void, but is accomplished the purpose that I sent it, and prosper in the thing that which I please. So in that context of scripture, people keep talking about, you give seed to the sower. That ain't talking about money. And that scripture is talking about seed to the farmer so he can sow more seed. You're not going to hustle me out of my money. So that's the attitude you got to have. You're not going to be hustled. So, just like I said, many deceivers are going out into the world, as I read that scripture. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. You got a right to stand up. You're not going to hustle me. They hustle people, and it amazes me. You go to a service, they say, we're only going to receive one offering. And then the preacher preach, and he take another offering and got people up. Got you all hyped up and got you going and hustling you out of your money. So you got to look at that. You got to wonder about that because there's too many people doing it. And it makes you, I used to wonder why that I cringe over that. It's not scripture. They're just hustling people out of their money. So thank God for the truth. So our call-in number on the day, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So the truth will make you free. But you don't, God is fair. God is a just God. God is not hustling, trying to take everything and squeeze us all out. And like I said, these people, you look at a man of God back in the Old Testament, they wasn't live like a king. These people think they are. You know, they reverence these people. And then some of them ain't living nothing. They got so many question marks around them. And God ain't coming down to none of our standards. The Bible said, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So, because you're a leader, you ain't guaranteed heaven. because you're a bishop, you ain't guaranteed heaven. Because you say you're an apostle, they all are dead. Ain't no apostles nowadays. But if you say you're one, you're not guaranteed heaven. You say you're an elder. You say you're a minister. You say you're a brother. You say you're a sister. But the Bible said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter into the gates of the city. For without are dogs. And so all these things he talks about, anything that maketh worketh abomination or maketh a lie. So we got to do what he says. We should want to do what God says and to please him. It's not. So folks are so caught up with seniority. I've been in church all of my life. So what? What do you know? It doesn't matter about that. It's the fact that we all got to do, even like that parable about them working in the vineyard and the man agreeing for a penny at the heat of the day, at the end of the day, pretty much, and he got paid the same as the folks who have been in there in the heat of the day, and they got angry. He said, did not you agree for a penny? So in other words, you agreed for the wage that you agreed to. So same way with it is with us. Doesn't matter how long you've been in church, unquote, if you're not doing what he said, if you're living a dirty life. And that's my prayer. And no devil in hell or no man living can stop that. And my sincere prayer is, and yours should be too, just like the scripture says in the book of Jude, he says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. My prayer is also, in conjunction with that, God will fulfill his word, and God will pull the cover off of every dirty leader, every hypocrite. Pull the cover off and expose them for who they are. That's scripture too. Shame of your nakedness is going to appear. You don't want to come clean? You should come clean. You're dirty. You're not flying away. You're not going to be caught away in the rapture, and you're dirty. God don't care what your title is, who you over. You're dirty. You got a girlfriend and a wife, too, or a man, too. You ain't going nowhere. You're going to be right here. We got to do what he says. You sure want to be clean. These folks living a double life and a hypocritical life. Not going nowhere. So this is what it's all about. The truth will make us free. And this is what Apostle Paul's job was with this Corinthian church. They were a very talented, gifted church, as we say. There is a difference between a gift and a talent. The talent you got to use and improve. A gift, that was given by God. This church was very gifted church in the book of Corinthians, but they had immoral thoughts. They had immorality going on in the church. So Apostle Paul had addressed these things. They had envies. They had jealousies. They had strife. They had various things. They were taking people to court. They were doing a lot of different things that they should not have been doing as being people of God, and the apostle had to address these things. So this is why one of the main reasons why he wrote the letter, he wrote two letters to the Corinthian church. This is the church that he established himself, the Corinthian church. And so nowadays, you got to even, if folks would really be doing their job like they ought, then they wouldn't be having time to be doing some of the things that people are doing that are hiding. And I'm not talking to you unless it's you. Let's get that straight. Let's be perfectly clear. I am not talking to you unless it is you. Go ahead, caller.
Praise the Lord.
Go ahead, caller.
Praise the Lord. Elder Cannon.
Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
This is Elder Fountain.
Yes. Yes, sir.
How
we
you
just
doing today,
get ready to get started. I hadn't got started in 1 Corinthians yet.
Okay.
That's the 13th chapter.
I was listening to the broadcast, and you were talking about how the Corinthian this Corinthian church was a very gifted church, but it was a very immoral and lacking in love. And this is, I think this is where we were going with with our next broadcast. It's been a couple weeks. We were getting into the 13th chapter, right?
Yes, yes, sir, yes. Those of you that are listening, this is our historian, Elder Ryan Fountain, joining us. So we thank God for him today on the show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, amen. We are in the 13th chapter, and as Elder Cannon was saying, that the Corinthian church was indeed a very talented church. They had many of the gifts, and Paul described the gifts that were operating within the church, but they were a church that were that was lacking in love. And that's basically what the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is speaking of, that all the gifts that they may had in their church meant really nothing because they had no love within their ranks.
Yeah.
And to add on to that, in 1 John the 3rd chapter, he also is talking about love. He says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." That's really showing your love to the brothers is sacrificing yourself in different ways, in various ways, in order to show love unto your brother.
Yes.
And he says, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Again, that's a self-explanatory explanation, that if you have goods, but you don't share your goods with the others, and you in turn take away from the poor, how can you really show love unto the brethren? "My children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth."
Yes.
"And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God." So we know that whatever if we show love towards the brethren, then we know that God has confidence in us, and it's showing that we have confidence in him, that he will reward us for our sacrifices and all that we do. And
yeah,
this is going right along with what Paul is talking about to the Corinthian church, that this was a church lacking in love, and that they needed to show more love unto their brethren. And starts off in the first verse saying, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." So you're just an instrument making noise if you're not really showing your love. If you just talk about love, if you just talk about all these good things, that really shows the difference between a man of God and a man of his own heart.
Yes.
That a man of God will speak of the things of God and actually will do the deeds of God. He will walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. But he is not really of God. There's no way he's really going to walk into the steps of Jesus Christ, because he doesn't really love Jesus Christ after his own heart. Amen?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And he says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, and I have not charity, I have nothing. So even though I have all this power within me, if it's for love and for the sake of love, I really have nothing. And I think that's really important to understand this chapter and to understand what the purpose of this writing to this church was.
Yeah.
That it was all about love. And that they were not showing the love of God unto their brethren with all these stripes, with all these jealousies, and all these envies that were going on within their ranks. So, with that being said, sorry, I was getting distracted a little bit. We know that we have to show love to our brethren in all things that we do, in all of our works. And there has to be works of love going on within your life in order for you to walk in this life as a Christian. Amen?
Yes.
Moving on, it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So even though you may give to charities, even though you may give to different good causes, I know there's a lot of famous people that are out there giving to various causes and giving to many good causes out there, but they're not doing it with the love of God in their hearts. They really have nothing. If they don't have the love of God, they may have the love of themselves, and they may have a genuine love for other people in a certain aspect, but if they're not doing it for God, they really have nothing. And I will speak in and also in reference to some of the super rich, such as Bill Gates and such as Oprah Winfrey. They give to many great charities, but in the end, they do those things not necessarily for the love of God, but they do it for the love of themselves and the love of their pocketbooks, because those are all write-offs that they
exactly.
do for tax purposes.
Yes.
Oprah doesn't give cars away just for no reason. She gets a tax write-off for that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So it indeed helps people, and although you may help people, she's not doing it for the love of God. And I think I'm going to keep driving this point that the love of God is the most important thing when operating within the church.
Right, but not only that, just like you say, people don't just do those things just for the sake of helping others and for a tax break, but also they're taking the glory that belongs to God also, because they're denying the Lord.
Yes, exactly.
That's even worse.
That is another very good point, that they are looking for the glory in themselves. They look to be announced that they give to these charities. It is very common to hear Bill Gates talk about, or people talk about Bill Gates giving over $1 billion to various charities to feed the children and for education. But, again, he's doing that because he wants the glory within himself, and he wants to do that for a tax write-off.
Yes.
So, charity suffereth long, verse number 4, and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So charity does not keep up on itself. Charity does not announce itself. This word charity is love in this instant. Love does not speak highly of itself. So when you do things out of love of God, you don't do it expecting great rewards and expecting great accolades from other men, but you're doing it
right
from the love of Christ that is within your heart. Amen? So, he does not behave himself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So, all of these things go along with love. These are attributes of somebody that has love within their heart.
Yes.
They rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things of God, hopeth all things of God, and endureth all things of God. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there should be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, this is a very big sticking point with denominations such as the Church of Christ. They believe that all of these things have ceased, prophecy and speaking in tongues and knowledge. They say that and in the very next verse, when that is, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So they speak of a doctrine that says that in the very beginning, they prophesied and they spoke in tongues, But all that ceased when the New Testament scriptures arrived. Well, friend, I'm here to tell you that although these scriptures are the inspired word of God, these are not the perfection in this earth. Perfection in this earth is when Jesus Christ shall return to this earth in his second coming and perfect us and give us a glorious body, a glorified body, where we will be with him.
Yes.
There, and that day we will be in his, not only in the image, but we will also be in the likeness. That is perfection. So when perfection comes, perfection being the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture of the church taking us into glory, that is when perfection will come. That is when tongues will cease. That is when knowledge will cease. That is when prophecy shall cease, because prophecy ceases when prophecy is fulfilled.
Yes.
And when tongues cease, we will no longer need the evidence of speaking in tongues. We will no longer need the gift of tongues, because the Holy Ghost is that which strengthens us through the gift of tongues, and it will no longer be necessary because we will be in his presence and we will not need the gift of tongues any longer.
Yes, exactly.
And so we have to understand that although we may prophesy in part and though we may speak in tongues in this day, it will not always be like this, but it will end. It hasn't ended yet. We have to finish out the church dispensation. The church does have a beginning and it does have an ending.
Yes.
When does it end? At the rapture of the church. That is the end of the period of grace. We are the church of grace. We have to understand
yes.
that. And grace will end when the church is raptured out of this earth. That is when that which is perfect shall come.
Yes.
Just to finish out that chapter, and I'll have to let you go because I have to get back going.
Yes,
but,
yes.
He says, when I understood as a child, I spake as a child, or when I was a child, I spake as a child, and I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Yes.
But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, because faith and hope will end. Again, when will faith and hope end? When there's no longer a need for faith and hope, because our hope is for the second coming of the Lord. Our hope is for the resurrection. But when we are part of the resurrection, when our part of the resurrection takes place, we will no longer have that hope because the hope will be fulfilled. And we will no longer have to have faith in that hope because the hope will be fulfilled. So we have to know that we can only believe in part right now.
Yes.
We can only go so far in belief and in faith. But one day, faith will take us into a higher level and take us into another place, and that is what we are hoping for, and hopefully that will be fulfilled. Amen?
Amen. And also, that word charity could be used as the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost
yes.
suffered long. Holy Ghost is kind. Holy Ghost never failed it. So the greatest of these is the Holy Ghost, which
yes.
is God.
Yes.
Which is
because
love.
The Holy Ghost, well, the Holy Ghost is love, and
yes.
we know that God is love.
Yes.
And so, all those things go right in together. So, on that note, I will have to rush off, but I will see you later on this evening
okay.
if you're all
ready right.
at service.
Okay. God bless.
God bless all the listeners that were out there. I hope we
yes.
got a understanding of that.
Yes. We just go ahead and start off in the next chapter, and then we'll
okay.
just go from there on the next time.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. God bless.
God bless you.
All right. Okay. We thank God. for that, that was our historian in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain joined with us. Like I said, he's a very busy man, and we're always glad when we can have him to join us on the blog, broadcast. So we go, so we're talking there. So charity, as they always say, love, but it's funny when God always used, when the writers were inspired to use the word love, they always use the word love, but there they're using the word charity. So also another word you can use in the place of charity instead of love, you can use the Holy Ghost. So we know the Holy Ghost is God. We know God is love. So just like you say about charity, if we don't have the Holy Ghost, it profit us nothing. So the Holy Ghost suffered long and is kind. The Holy Ghost envieth not. The Holy Ghost vaunted not itself. Is not puffed up. So all these things. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own, not easily provoked, thinking no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity, the Holy Ghost, never faileth. But that which is, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So, is it done away now? No, it's not. People, you got to rightly divide the truth. The church is still here. The church is an organism. The church is the body of Christ that's operating in the world now. When the church is taken away, then these things are going to be done away with. What Apostle Paul was talking about when he wrote this letter. There's only 13 short verses, so he says, now abideth faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these is charity, love, God, the Holy Ghost. So the continuation on into 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Follow after charity. Same thing we've been talking about in previous verses. And desire spiritual gifts. Listen to what he's saying here. But rather that ye may prophesy or preach. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Notice what he said. He didn't say other. He said an unknown tongue, not other. And the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues or other languages. What he's talking about here is unknown. Be unknown to those that are here, that here are there, present. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. So what is he saying? His spirit is praying an unknown tongue. So that's a gift of tongues given by the Holy Ghost after you've already received the gift of the Holy Ghost. So no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Hidden truths in the spirit may not know about, but you're edifying yourself when you're speaking in an unknown tongue. Not other tongues, but unknown tongues. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So what is that saying? Prophecy, you're making it plain. You're speaking where people can understand what you are conveying. The message that you need to get across is understood. The message that you need to get across is made plain. There's no, what did he say? What did she say? No, it is understood. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edified himself. So that's what I was saying about that. Verse 2, you're edifying yourself. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So those are words to be understood. And we're going to see, this is quite a chapter all the way down to verse 40. When we're going in days to come, when we get into this, that you can get an understanding. But first of all, you got to be born again. This is the children's bread. You can't just, you haven't been born again, you're not going to understand this. Because people are unregenerated folk are explaining the Bible away. You don't have no understanding. You don't even know who God is if you haven't been born again. This is what Jesus said. It's a plain truth. Like he said to Nicodemus, when Nicodemus asked the question, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Jesus just made it plain to Nicodemus when he said to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Some things you ought to know. You think you know. That's why the scriptures say if any man think that he knoweth anything, 1 Corinthians 8:2, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. So people are worried about, what about this group of people? What about that group? None of these group of people were around on the day of Pentecost. The church began at Pentecost. The so-called Catholicism, which is one of the worst monstrosities out there, and the Muslims, and all of these other so-called faiths that came up were not there. So that's why he said, though when I said previously, when I first came on, about deception, about deceivers. And that's why Paul said, though we are an angel, notice what he said in Galatians, the first chapter, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have heard, he said, let him be accursed. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, to me, that's very strong language, because Apostle Paul said, he said it again. That's verse 8 of Galatians, the first chapter. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So if it's not the apostles' doctrine, it's not the doctrine of the Lord, it's not the doctrine of Jesus Christ, of who he is and what he taught, and what he taught about being born again, is cursed. A lot of folks are going to be smooth talk right to the lake of fire. Because they're not going to be born again. They're going to end up not getting up in the first resurrection. They're going to be in the second. They're going to be standing before the great white throne. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire because they let some smooth talker, which is a deceiver, deceive them. And they are going to end up in the lake of fire with the devil and his angels and all the other hypocrites and the rich people that messed over everybody and choked out the poor and choked out the middle class. Because their God was their belly. They believe in mammon, which is money. He said you can't serve God and mammon. You love one and hate the other. You cleave to the one and despise the other. He said you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. And that's what people are doing. But anyway, going on here, just like I had been saying previously, because we're talking about getting an understanding about tongues. You cannot get an understanding about this. You have not been born again. So that's why he said unto Nicodemus, art thou a master of Israel, knoweth not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know and testify that we have seen. You receive not our witness. This is what Jesus said. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? A question. Listen what Jesus said next. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And when he said this, he was standing on the earth. As Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, even must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Goes on, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know who the name of the only begotten Son of God is? Jesus. Jesus the Christ. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth good hateth the light. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So people that are doing dirty stuff, they don't want to be found out. A deceiver don't want to be found out. A hustler, somebody hustling you out of your money and everything, they don't want to be found out. They don't like nobody that get it in the book and got them and know, like, you're not going to be hustling me out of my money. You're not going to make a fool out of me. They don't like that, somebody to stand up to them. You got to fight for your life. You only got one soul. You only got one soul. You can't stand before God and say, if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for her, no. That's why we're telling you right now. That's why Jesus told them to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, and they are they, talking about the scriptures, which testify of me. They testify of Jesus. That's the whole thing. Just like the Lord said, my name is the Lord, that is my name. In the book of Jeremiah, he said, my glory will I not give to another. That's the problem with the whole world. Even today, even some so-called spiritual leaders, they want the glory. I'm anointed of God. I know God is with me. He ain't with you. If you acting a fool, if you're living like a dirty dog, he ain't with you. You blessed that he ain't cut you off. You need to come clean if you're dirty. And I'm not talking to you unless it's you. And I'm not scared. So we got to follow after charity, so and desire spiritual gifts. So just like he said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So you're going to speak things plainly to be understood to people. You're going to be not going to be talking over their heads, using big words, but you're going to be talking like you're going to like they say, KISMIP, keep it simple, make it plain. You're going to be talking where people could understand it. So he said, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So notice what he's talking about here, speaking with tongues in the church. That's fine, too. You got spirit-filled believers, so you need somebody to be able to interpret. When those gifts are operating that the way that the Lord would have them to do in the church, there needs to be an interpreter. We're going to see as we go on here. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? He's asking a question. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? It's a question. So likewise, ye, except ye utter the tongue by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. We're going to stop right there because we know our time is almost gone. So we thank God for his word. We hope that you have been enlightened. And like I said, you only got one soul, one soul, and you don't want to be hustled out of your soul or out of your money, deceived. So thank you for listening to Truth Ministry, and I hope this broadcast has been a blessing. This word has been a blessing, and you can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great
history, godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
Thank you.